care if that was autobiographical when Paul McCartney said he was arrested by a Rosa wearing a pink balloon upon his foot. Could have been. Could have just been an interesting trip he was on at the time. Wings there, and obviously McCartney with Denny Lane and the late Linda McCartney. Now, if I was to actually come up with a line saying cardiovascular mortality and N-terminal pro-BNP reduced after combined selenium and coenzyme Q10 supplementation, you might think, oh, tuned into a completely different station. Let's go to the headline quote from that new study. Cardiovascular mortality cut by 50%. Europeans in need of selenium. The best person to actually talk to with respect to that, of course, happens to be a fine sir, who looks after marketing for the Pharma Nord Nutritional Supplements Company. That would be, of course, Dean Forbes. Are you there, Dean?
Yes, I'm here, Alex.
Splendid.
Good afternoon.
So how's the weather in Morpeth?
It is sunny and windy, with some aggressive-looking grey clouds blowing in.
No, it's all right. Apparently the Spanish plume actually goes over us. The jet stream passes on, and all goodness comes through. That's the important thing.
Wonderful.
In the studio, a brace of fine professors, but specialising mostly in the humanities, it has to be said. I mean, I provided them with a copy of the Pharma Nord News. Obviously, being good academics, they went straight for the abstract, you know, no messing about with respect to that, and said, well, that's what it's all about then. And indeed, Professor Brian Winston, you've been saying, you've been working hard so far today, and you were just beginning to nod off. So, no, we need some more energy to keep you going from that point of view. So how can coenzyme Q10, for instance, assist in these fine folk as they continue their extremely wonderful academic work?
Well, I think it certainly assists me, since I have a heart condition. But selenium for me was discovered by Becquerel, surely, in the 1820s as an early radio active substance, and it's the heart of the first proposals for television.
There we are, you say.
Which were, you know, that was the light sensitive source. It's a photo emissive substance, and it was the light sensitive source that that the guy who first patented television thought would work for television. Do you know what year that was, Alex?
Could this be 1914-11?
Well, 1911 is a good guess, because that's the first time we sent a signal.
Yes.
But the date is 1884.
It is 1884, of course.
So Becquerel, there you go. No, Becquerel's even earlier than that, but this is Nipkow. It's the Nipkow spinning disc. So, I'm astonished to discover there's some of the bloody stuff in my body. And even more astonished to discover if I got some more of it, my dodgy heart would survive even longer.
There we are. So, you know, it's over to you, Dean. What's this all about? How does it connect with life, the universe, etc.?
Okay, well, thank you for that very simple question. That's great. I think, in terms of nutrition, selenium is one of those essential micronutrients, really, that we kind of overlook as part of our diet, and there's a lot of misunderstanding surrounding that as well with regard to toxicity and those kind of things. And for a number of years, Pharma Nord have been producing an organic selenium yeast in order to help immune function, because it's one of its main roles is to look after immune function and also the functioning of the thyroid gland as well. But there are a number of other processes within the body that require selenium. The belief is, in the case of the activity with selenium in heart function, is that it reduces oxidative stress, so damage that the cells of the heart undergo through free radicals, so any kind of damage through just diet and exercise and exposure to environmental pollutants. We need the selenium as an antioxidant to actually protect the cell membranes and stop the oxidization process going forward and causing damage, in particular to the heart, but it's actually throughout the entire body. And they're also coupled to that in this particular study, the Kiesel 10 study, which is what Alex referred to. There's also the function of Q10 itself, coenzyme Q10, within the body. And at first, the two weren't directly linked, but this study's also shown how the two actually work together in there as well. But yes, overall, selenium is one of those micronutrients that we need in trace amounts, but throughout Europe, and particularly in the UK, our soil is very low in selenium, which means it's impossible for plants to take up enough selenium, and therefore it's difficult to get those plants and those fruit and vegetables to deliver the selenium into our diet.
In fact, in Finland, they decided this was such a serious aspect of their public health that they decided in 1985 to implement selenium enrichment of fertilisers as a way of increasing the very low concentration of selenium in the nation's food chain. So Finns have moved in that sort of form as well. You mentioned the other line there, which is one of the reasons I'm a little disappointed that we didn't manage to get our snickerdoodle, as she's been referred to, our rookie of the year, Hannah Bayman. Hannah Bayman? Oh, forget that she's a northeast weather forecaster. Hannah O'Brien in the studio, because we're talking again about fatigue and keeping energy levels high. Back to the whole notion of adenosine triphosphate, I'm just waving my little credentials of a biology graduate here to the fore. We need to actually have that sort of Krebs citric acid cycle to keep our energy going. Over to your good self, Dean, just talk a little bit about coenzyme Q10 and how it is the body's natural power supply, which tragically begins to decline pretty much from 19 onwards, really.
Yes, very much so. I mean, coenzyme Q10 is a relatively new discovery in terms of nutrition. About 1957, it was discovered by American scientists, and the role was cemented as part of this ATP production that you referred to, this adenosine triphosphate production, which is how 95% of the human body energy is actually made. What happens is that the process of producing Q10 takes place in the liver. We synthesize it naturally, and then the cells are fed with Q10 in order to function normally. The Q10 is kind of like the spark plug that exists in every cell in the body. As we age, we produce less and less of it naturally. Now, what this means is it's not, say, like taking an energy drink or taking in sugar and then having more energy, but what it is that the less our muscles are able to function normally by being starved of Q10, the less energy we will have in terms of being able to use those muscles, the less ability we'll have to recover from exercise and to maintain our appetite for activity. And in addition to that, the heart itself, heart cells require huge volumes of Q10. Again, the less of that we get, the less likely it is that the heart cells can function normally, and then we leave ourselves exposed to disease and heart failure.
Now, looking at the whole scheme of things, I can almost hear the listener sort of shouting at the computer or the radio set or wherever they're tuned into, Zara, or listening to the podcast. They, oh yeah, we've heard all this. It's just nutrition. We're told it's all important and so on and so forth. The thing about PharmaNord, as far as I recall, Dean, and you can correct me on this particular routine, is it is actually fundamentally based on Danish company, and it works on the scientific principles right from the off. So you do work very closely with scientists to actually confirm that what we're doing in this is actually legit and is appropriate.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you take the Kiesel 10 study as an example, the scientists in Sweden, it was an independent trial to look at heart health in older healthy individuals, and when they were selecting the nutrients, looking at selenium and looking at coenzyme Q10, they had to make sure they selected products that had a basis or a pre-existing research behind them. So in the case of our Q10, it's been featured in over 80 clinical trials and dozens of trials on our Seleno Precise organic selenium. And the reason that happens is because we can demonstrate bioavailability. And I think the misunderstanding with a lot of vitamins, and the tragic nature of it is that people will choose vitamins often based on price. They may think, well, I'll give it a go. It might help, it might not, I don't know. And they'll buy some cheap vitamins and they'll try them. And of course, they don't give it long enough, and they also don't select the vitamins carefully, and what can happen is that the body just excretes them or doesn't absorb them in the first place. And with ours, we've got a lot of recorded bioavailability studies, by which we mean how well the body can take up the nutrient and then get it in the bloodstream and start to supply the body with it. And with Q10 in particular, we use a patented formula, and we spent a long time developing an oil-based formula to dissolve the Q10 crystals that we get small enough so that they can be taken up easily by the body. And that's the crucial thing here, really.
You're working an awful lot with medical professionals, medical advisors, people up and down the country in various areas, environments, as well as the Barcelona football team, amongst others. From that perspective, do you find that you encounter folk who are initially very sceptical and they think, actually, maybe there is something in this?
We do. I mean, that's really the tale throughout. I mean, my own family would be an example, would be a case in point. You know, when you deal with professionals or consumers, they're looking for a solution to a problem or a health issue, or they're looking for preventative nutrition, and they're very sceptical going in. And when they actually understand how the products work, when they see the documentation and they see how they're manufactured, and then they persist with the course and with the correct amount on a daily basis, they then start to realise. If you look at Q10, if you're an athlete, for example, then Q10 would come into its own, because your body is consuming huge volumes of Q10 in the muscles, and therefore you will suffer fatigue and muscle pain after exercise. And the more you can supply that, the more likely you can overcome some of that discomfort. And therefore, it's speaking for itself then. In terms of preventative nutrition with regard to, say, selenium, then what people notice is they may, for example, if they ever get a cold, it might be less severe, the duration maybe may not be as long as it was when they used to get colds in the past, and then when they can start to see it happening and start to see it working, they convert across. And that's really the best way to demonstrate it. Rather than give them waffle, they take it, they get a safe product that's backed by research, that's supported with certificates of analysis, and then they can take it and persevere with it, and then they'll see the effects as they go through. So whether you're assigned, and actually the scientists in the Kiesel 10 trial was another example of very sceptical scientists, very much not focused on nutrition, more focused specifically on cardiology. And the entire team of professors from Linköping University are all now taking Q10 and selenium as a result of the outcome of the trial.
And this is one of the reasons why Bent Henriksen, the chief executive officer of course of Pharmanol, got an OBE for services rendered and actually climbed Mont Blanc in the recent sort of past, etc. So all great stuff. Gail, questions from yourself?
I've got two questions.
Okay.
One is, how easy is it to export these products on the international market? And I'm thinking North America, because I know Canada and the United States have Food and Drug Acts. And so scientists there look at studies, you know, that scientists have performed in other countries. Sometimes they turn thumbs up, sometimes they turn thumbs down. I'm not at all an expert in this area, but it has seemed to me in the past that some very, very good, helpful drugs or products were available, but they were not available in Canada because they simply didn't pass the food and drug standards.
I mean, that's a good point. With regard to export worldwide, mm-hmm. we do actually do that, and we do supply our products into the United States, but not in a way that in the volume that we like to.
Right.
And a lot of the restrictions we face as a manufacturer are based on getting products through customs and volumes and costs associated with that.
Right.
And what we're seeking to do is distribute it via, you know, an official distributor in America. With regard to both coenzyme Q10 and our selenium, they're both declared safe for use as food supplements.
Right.
So in terms of acceptability on the marketplace as a supplement, that's not an issue.
Let's face it, Dean, we wouldn't have you on the show if it was otherwise. You know, we would have stopped you there. You wouldn't have passed through the whole thing, basically.
Exactly. But yes, I mean, what we find with the market in America is that it's quite saturated with a lot of Q10 products. And again, the quality, just like in the UK, can vary.
Mm-hmm.
And people, that's just an education area, really. People don't know what to look for. And with regard to Canada, if you actually were a statin user, you know, so cholesterol-lowering drugs, if you were a statin user in Canada and you had a pack of statins, it would actually have a black box warning on the statin pack telling you to actually replenish your Q10 levels, because they will be depleted by taking the statin, which again is why people often complain about fatigue and muscle pain when taking statins.
You're worried, Brian, now.
No, I am prepared, Dean, I am prepared to take your pill. If you send me a supply right now.
Yes.
We'll sort that off air, obviously, from that perspective. Shall we can adjust this whole idea. Also have to stress the fact that it's not a drug, it's a nutritional supplement. It is something that's sort of there, even though the company is pharmanord.co.uk, in terms of things from that point of view, so it's important for that. Dean, I feel as though you've been on the spot. Was there a second question you actually
had? Yes. I mean, this is, I'm probably wrong, but it seems to me that I took selenium to improve the quality of my nails and hair. Is that likely?
That is likely, yes. I mean, selenium was traditionally taken to improve the quality of nails and hair. And really, it's just the impact is seen throughout the body, but basically because it has a fundamental impact on the health of your cells and the ability for them to function normally and be defended against intruders, bacteria and other pathogens and viruses and so on. So, yeah, hair and nails is very common for selenium. And the main thing about selenium is it needs to be in a form that your body will find as bioidentical as possible, as in, will it recognize it like a food? And with selenium, the quality on the market varies so greatly, it's quite astonishing. And just through development and careful analysis, we've actually developed the world's most bioavailable selenium with what we call an 89% guaranteed bioavailability. So it's about getting it and taking it long enough, and that you will see that effect through your immune system, through your heart health, and ultimately, through your hair and nails.
Dean, there's a whole heap of scenarios that I'm just sort of thinking of a little challenge here, which obviously you can put to Ben, because obviously Brian went on air as saying that he's happy to actually. Would you actually? I mean, let's. What would
well,
you say
no, that? I'm not. I'm not entirely sure about it now that I've heard from Gail. I mean, is that why she glows in the dark?
I'm just thinking we could possibly, what would you say, about a month to 2 months, if we sort of sort that whole thing through, if we can arrange things, and Brian, would you be willing to come back and actually share with the listener?
Oh, yes. No, I can see a massively successful documentary coming on. You know that chap who lived on McDonald's and nothing else, made a fortune? The film's called Super Size Me.
Morgan Spurlock.
Yes. Excellent fellow, funny fellow. I'm prepared to do a Morgan Spurlock on all of this.
So there we are. Do you think we can actually confirm with that, Dean? Shall we talk off air and arrange something?
I think we'd be more than happy to work this out and kind of just put our money where our mouth is and say, look, this is what we make and this is what we
there
do
we
best.
There we are.
And four to six weeks is, we actually send out, we get feedback from our customers, and over 1,000 customers have come back to us, and the majority of them say it's around 4 to 6 weeks when they really start to notice the benefits.
The challenge has been laid down. Obviously, as a presenter, I can't endorse the product, but I must admit.
And I have a title. You could call it Selenium Me.
Instead of selenium me, yes. Instead of supersize me,
selenium.
Yes, exactly. All right. Very good.
That's why you've got two geniuses from the academic world, and indeed the joys of Emmy Award-winning Brian Wentz as well. Dean, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, the Midweek Drive?
It's been fantastic. I love talking about what we do, and it's great to get some other input as well. So I've had a great time.
Excellent.
Thanks for calling.
Hopefully we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future, probably about 4 to 6 weeks' time or so.
Yes, brilliant. Yes,
a reminder, of course, pharmanord.co.uk or multivits.co.uk, both go-to sites if you want to actually find out further information about what Dean's been talking about today. Coming up next, Michelle Munro.
Katie Grimason, Birmingham's gift to the galaxy on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM and more.
Yes, but Katie will be coming up in the second hour of the programme.